their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker. Hey, everybody, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Good to be back with you all today, and we appreciate everyone who's been tuning in.
Absolutely.
What are we talking about today, Rick?
Well, what we were thinking about is, since we recently talked about how to help someone new to photography to adjust, and we tried coming up with some ideas that would help keep it simple, we thought we'd do one that would make your head hurt a little.
Oh, good.
Just a little, not a lot, just a touch, you know,
so, a little bit. So before we get into it, everybody who's listening, go and get yourself an aspirin, right?
Or some ibuprofen. Something.
No, it's all good. So our topic today is to talk a little bit in depth on the, going into a little detail, technical detail, on the Nikon autofocus system, because it's evolved a lot. And we're limiting this to Nikon because, while there's a lot of similarities across all of the cameras, this is the one that we know personally the best.
And there are enough nuances between systems that this could be so complicated. So that's how we're going to focus the conversation. There absolutely will be things that are applicable to other systems, and they'll be easy for many people to recognize, you know, in terms of similarities. But we're going to keep it within the context of Nikon equipment.
And I guess the best way to, what we mean by that is that it's not that the other cameras don't have analogous modes, but they'll be called something different possibly. So you would, if you're using a different system, that's totally cool, but the concepts will actually apply. And then the specifics, you just need to go to your own camera manual and refer to that to see what's analogous. That's a good word.
Analogy. Yeah, it's a nice word.
So basically autofocus comes down to three major parameters. I mean, in terms of how
tell
you
me
want
more,
to
see, yeah, more, yeah, well, what might those three be?
Well, I mean, the three things that I think of the most are,
I think you're hedging already.
The behavior of the autofocus motor when I'm activating.
Yep.
You know, so you press the shutter button halfway, or you press your AF on button, whatever, and the autofocus motor will then activate and the lens tries to focus on your subject. There's that. There is the behavior of the camera as to whether or not it lets you take a photograph if your subject is perceived to be in focus, and perceived is the key word there. And then there is what we'll spend more time on. It's the, how do I tell the camera what my subject is, where I want it to focus? And that's focus points
and
focus
patterns.
And patterns and modes and stuff like that. And there's some other details in there as well.
But that was indeed three.
Those are three topics. Right. So the first one is the idea of, you know, let's just say you look through the camera, you see your subject, you frame it up, you put an autofocus point on the subject. You know, it's your kid or something like that. Their face, or your, you know, cat pictures are good. Stan, if you're listening, the cat pictures are good. And you half press the shutter,
unless you post them on the internet, right?
Oh yeah, no, the internet is not made for cat photos. Yeah. So you put an autofocus point on your subject, and then you tell the camera, hey, focus on this. Mm-hmm. And that's usually through half press of the shutter release button or a press of the AF on button if your camera has one. And that AF on thing is a topic for another time.
It's a good one, but it's a different time.
Right. So we're just talking about the generic, the big picture of how autofocus works. And so you do that, you activate the motor, and the camera will then move the lens. It'll, you know, rack the lens back and forth trying to figure out if it's in focus, right? So there's two primary settings on Nikon cameras. Some of them will have a third setting, but there's two primary settings, and those are called AFS and AFC. So AFS is called single servo focus activation, and AFC is called continuous servo. So tell us about You know, so what's the difference between those?
I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
Yeah, I'm this is your pop quiz, Rick.
Okay, all right, I'll try to do my best.
Your grade point average depends on this.
Uh-oh. So single servo is when you've got a static subject, and what you really want to do is just have the camera acquire focus, and then stop. Stop updating it, just
it
leave it alone.
It
locks it. Continuous is kind of what it says. It will keep continuously focusing on your subject, including when your subject changes distance from you. So if it gets closer, it'll adjust. If it gets further away, it'll adjust. It's for subjects that are moving.
Right. And the way the camera handles this is different. So in single servo, AFS, you focus. And as long as you're half pressing that shutter release down or holding down your AF on button, once the camera acquires the focus point, the lens stops moving. And if your subject moves or you move, that focus point doesn't change until you take your finger off the button and refocus.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that's a useful scenario is a lot of times you might want to focus and then you change your composition while holding down that button and then you take the picture. When the camera thinks the focus is locked, you know, it just takes the picture. In continuous servo, the camera is always evaluating the data that's coming into it from the lens, and it's making minute adjustments. And sometimes that can lead to focus errors.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can hear a lens chattering a little bit.
Right, depending on the target that you've got. So continuous servo is great for moving things where the subject distance is going to be changing. So if you're shooting sports or wildlife, you probably want to be in AFC continuous. Now, there is a third setting on some Nikon cameras called AFA or auto, mm-hmm. in which the camera tries to decide if your subject is moving or not. I personally don't have any experience with that.
Yep. And I'll just point out there's another one that's found on all of them.
Oh, right. Annual focus.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Okay, that's good. So, yeah, because we are talking about autofocus technically. Mm-hmm. The other question for your camera then is, does it limit you? Can you set up your camera to limit your ability to capture a frame, to release the shutter, to take the picture, whether or not the image is in focus? And the idea is that, and so this is where you have a custom setting. We'll talk about focus priority release or release priority. What that means is in focus priority, which is the default for the single servo, the camera has to at least think that the subject's in focus and the focus is locked. Otherwise, you can press the button all day long and it won't take a picture.
Right.
Now, that can be very useful in certain situations where you want to make sure that your subject's in focus. But again, it's not whether your subject is in focus. It's whether your camera believes it to be in focus.
A little bit of a difference.
Right. So in AFS shooting, that works great because you're locking the focus. Once you have press, it locks the focus and you take the picture, no big deal. With AFC, focus priority is not always the best way to go, because if the camera doesn't perceive what's under the AF, the little focus point, to be in focus, it won't let you take a picture. So that's when we tend to gravitate towards release priority.
Yeah, when you're in that mode. And I know people who shoot the other way and it works for them. I think it gets a little bit awkward, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
When you're in continuous. And very frankly, too, sometimes it's better to have a slightly blurry shot at the peak action point and how someone is posed perfectly arranged than it is to attempt to get a sharp shot and miss that point.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Rick. I mean, when you're shooting action, you want to capture the frames. And if the camera doesn't see it as being totally in focus and it's preventing you from shooting, that can be a problem.
Yeah.
Now, there's some of the fancier Nikons have ways where you can reduce the frame rate to prioritize focus. We're not going to go into that because really a lot of this becomes camera specific at mm-hmm. that point. But the general idea is that focus priority is great for static subjects when you're using AFS shooting, single servo, whereas if you're going to use continuous focus, you want to put your camera in release priority. And the good news is that those are the default settings in most Nikon cameras. Mm-hmm. When you put your camera into AFC, it automatically switches to some form of release priority,
yeah,
and vice versa.
But I would double check, because it depends on the age of your camera, and you may have set it one way inadvertently in the past, and it's good to double check them.
Right. Now, there is one cool thing you can do with focus priority.
Oh.
And that's called a focus trap.
Yeah.
And a focus trap means you are pre-focusing the lens, and you can do this with autofocus, or more likely, you could do it with manual focus. Let's say you've pre-focused on something, and then you place the camera into focus priority release. You hold down the shutter button. Well, right now, if the autofocus point is over something that's out of focus, the camera doesn't take a picture, right? But then your subject, maybe an animal or something, flies out of its little hole. And when it comes into the plane of focus, your camera takes the picture. It's kind of cool. Not something you do a lot. I have tried it, though. It does work.
And it does. It is one of those things that varies a little bit with cameras. So you'll have to experiment with that one.
Right.
Some it works, some it doesn't.
Right. In my case, I was waiting for a cactus wren in Texas to come out of its hole. There was no way I was going to focus on that bird as it was come flying at me. So I just pre-focused on a spot a couple feet in front of its hole and hoped for the best that it would fly through that pattern. And when it did, get a picture.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
And a miracle occurs.
And then a small miracle occurs. So the rest of the detail on the focus system then comes down to, how do you tell the camera where to focus? Mm-hmm. This is where we get into focus points and patterns and different modes for different subjects.
Yeah, and differing levels of automation.
Right.
With those patterns.
Right. Now, let me start with the very simple. We'll go from simple to complex.
Good.
Because in the old days, the way you told your camera how to focus on something was using manual focus.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just point out that that is an option.
And it can be a very good option.
And in fact, most cameras, you know, certainly the Nikons, will take the information from wherever your autofocus point is set and give you feedback in the viewfinder, like a digital rangefinder. It'll tell you when or not it's sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it'll be using the autofocus system, but not autofocusing the lens. You're still doing that manually.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about autofocus. And so let's talk about the modes in order of complexity. Because with each of these modes, really what you're doing is you're giving varying degrees of control to the camera to choose the subject for you.
Right.
So, you know, just like you would want to control exposure, manual focus allows you to control focus to wherever you want using any part of the frame. You just have to be able to judge that focus. But the simplest one, we'll start with what's the first one on the list. What's that? Single point, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that I probably use 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Or more.
Or if you're me, 99% right. of the time.
I mean, single point is literally the ability to just say, see camera, see that one spot? Whatever's underneath that spot in my viewfinder is what I want you to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if your camera has got 153 points of autofocus points or 39 points. It works the same way. You just have fewer points to choose from. Speaking of choosing points, Rick, we were talking before the show. That's a good thing to remember, right? That you can choose your own adventure. You can choose your own autofocus point.
Yes. And you should move it around.
Exactly. So most cameras have a little joystick or little D-pad on the back that you can use to move the autofocus point up, down, back, and forth in the frame. And why is that important?
Well, because what you're really asking about is, why is that often a better method to use than just using the one in the center, focusing, and then recomposing, which can work. The problem that you can run into is, let's say you're shooting a photo of someone in your family and you're relatively close and you're using something like a 50 millimeter 1.4 lens and you've got it wide open. So there's not a lot of depth of field. If you use the focus and recompose, several bad things can happen to you. One, you might move between the time that you focus, recompose, and take the shot. The other person may move a little, and it doesn't take a lot for it to go out of focus when your lens is wide open. The other thing that can happen is with some of these faster lenses, they can have some curvature of field. And if you recompose and you're putting the person more toward the edge of the frame, they're out of focus, even though maybe neither one of you moved. So there's some problems with that approach. It seems super easy and quick, and oftentimes it works fine if something's at a distance, but the closer you get, the more likely it is that to get a focus error. So move around your sensor.
Right. So just learn how to find that control. One pro tip, a lot of Nikons have that little lock switch on the back. Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself pressing the button and nothing is happening, it's probably because you've locked the joystick down. Just move it out of the lock position.
That happens to all of us.
Happens a lot more often than you'd like. So single point is a great, I mean, it's the most straightforward autofocus point selection, because you're really just telling the camera, look at this one spot and this one spot only, and focus on whatever is there. Okay. And for 99% of your subjects, if it's landscapes or even portraits, that's all you need. Mm-hmm. The rest of the settings get trickier because it comes down to moving subjects. So the remaining patterns and settings that we'll talk about tend to have something to do with a moving subject. So what happens when your subject is moving is that it might be a little bit challenging to keep your active autofocus, that single point, on the subject. And what happens? The camera moves, you're trying to track something, they're moving, it's a bird or a runner, you know. And now, next thing you know, the focus point has moved from the subject to maybe the background.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Yep.
So so these other autofocus options are there to help the camera stay on your subject. Mm-hmm. So the next one up from single point is something called dynamic autofocus. It's dynamic, and this is customizable in Nikons between, 9 points all the way up to 153 points.
And there's that group thing too, right?
Right. Well, we got dynamic, we've got group. So let's talk about dynamic first.
Okay.
You can think of dynamic, this is where the camera it still is single point focusing. It acquires the subject using the first, whatever center of the autofocus point you've chosen. But then the camera will also start looking at data from the surrounding autofocus areas. And if the subject distance changes drastically, it can use information from the last known position of your subject, the distance information, to look and evaluate if any of the other sensors might still be on your subject. Mm-hmm. And that slows down the tendency of your camera to just completely lose focus, because you're not able to keep a single point on the face of the soccer player or the bird or whatever. But it really behaves like single point when you start. That's the key. It just adds in assist points so that once the camera starts tracking the subject, it is evaluating more data.
Yeah. And then depending on how many points you pick in that dynamic mode, you're telling it, hey, you're allowed to look out this far or maybe a bit further.
Or maybe the entire autofocus module area.
To find that subject that you started on.
Right. There's another variant of focus called 3D tracking, which is another variant of single point. But what this one does is it's a little bit funny. You select the starting autofocus point and you place it on your subject. So, and then what happens is that as long as you're holding down the autofocus activation button, again, your half press of your shutter or your AF on button, the camera tries to follow the subject around in the viewfinder. This works well I don't use this very often at all. Mm-hmm. Because the camera is looking at contrast, it's looking at color. So if you've got a color that's distinct on the background, and the example in the Nikon manual is like, let's say it's a tennis player. You're shooting from slightly above, so farther away, they're wearing white, they're on a green background, the camera can track them. And you can watch this autofocus point moving around in the frame. It's kind of cool. And it does work. Mm-hmm. But I find that it's pretty tricky to use for lower contrast or subjects that don't have a lot of contrast between them and their background, mm-hmm. like mammals and, you know, deer right. and stuff like that. And it's never going to be as accurate. It's not going to know the difference between an eyeball and a, you know, it's not.
No, but sports uniforms tend to be wonderful for.
Right. That. And the real scenario in which you might want to use the 3D tracking autofocus is when you have when you want to compose the shot identically, but your subject is moving around the frame. So again, that tennis player. Let's say you've set up and you're composing the shot so that the net is on one edge of your frame, and then you've got the whole side, you know, that side of the court. The player is moving around. You can keep your camera still so that you get the same framing, but the camera follows the player around the frame.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the best example of 3D tracking in practice, because I don't use it very often mm-hmm. when I shoot. Then there's a new one that's available in some of the newer Nikon bodies called Group. This is a cool one.
So why is it cool?
Well, first of all, what it does is that we talked about dynamic, which when you look at it in the viewfinder, it looks like you're using 9 or 10 autofocus points, but it's really a variant of single point. Group literally is a giant autofocus point. It is a cluster of typically five autofocus points that are grouped together to form a giant single autofocus point.
Ooh.
So that's cool because you have a larger autofocus point. But the second part of group autofocus is what's really cool. And that is that it gives priority to the nearest object underneath the sensor. So this is my go-to birds in flight setting mm-hmm. with my D850. With dynamic focus, I would oftentimes end up getting onto the background a little bit
mm-hmm.
And picking out a bird in the distance flying on a background if it wasn't clean sky would be an exercise in pain. Because once your camera focuses on the background, it really likes staying on the background.
Yeah.
With group, I don't have that problem.
Yeah. And just to do a quick translation over to the Nikon Z bodies, they've got a small area and a larger area pattern. And those kind of correspond to group in a way.
Right. Wide, small, and wide, large.
Yeah.
I think, or something in the color.
But they'll give emphasis to what's the closest.
Right. Now, where does that fall apart? So it's great when you're shooting a subject with nothing coming between you and that subject. But if, let's say that bird lands in a tree and there's branches, your group autofocus isn't going to be a good choice then. You're going to want to go down to single point or dynamic because any foreground object that the autofocus group sees is going to be prioritized. Mm-hmm. You'll end up taking pictures of branches instead of the animal. But it's a really great new feature. What's the last one? Because so what we've done here is we've gone from giving the camera, you know, one spot to look at, to start by looking at one spot, but expand it out to 9 or 50 or 150 points. We've given it a spot to look at and then track a color or a subject. We've given the camera a large area to look at with group focusing. The last one is the one that is kind of interesting because it's called Auto Area AF.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that one do?
Well, you just say, hey, camera, hope you find the subject I want.
Yeah. This is point and shoot mode, right? Yeah,
sort of.
You know, it's kind of like if you have a point and shoot camera where you can't change the focus point, it just picks something. And this was the setting that I never used to touch. Because this was the, hey, camera, figure it out. Now, it works for, like, landscapes and, you know, snapshot kinds mm-hmm. of things. And if I were giving my camera to someone else to use, I might put my camera in that mode just mm-hmm. because then they don't have to figure out. Because people who are not familiar with autofocus systems don't realize you've got to put the little spot on something.
Right.
So auto area can be helpful. But in the last about, 6 or 8 years, Nikon has really added some new features into this auto area mode. And the biggest one was face detection. This is really cool. If the camera sees a face, it will choose that over other objects in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where can you see this? Well, it works in any mode, but you can really see it in live view mode. Or with the mirrorless cameras, you'll see it through your viewfinder, and you'll see a little box appear over the face of the subject and follow it around the frame.
Right.
This is incredibly useful.
Yeah.
You can use it for family portraits. You can use it for, you know, if you're chasing your kids around at the zoo and you want, you know, because it's going to pick out faces. So for people photography, auto area with face detection is really cool. Now, that's a custom setting. You can go in and turn that off if you want.
Yeah, and you do need to do that at times because sometimes you'll suddenly realize, oh, there's a picture of someone in the background, and that's what it goes and focuses on as opposed to the
right.
as opposed to your wife in the foreground.
And your camera doesn't know the difference between your kid and somebody else's kid.
No.
So there are times when you want to be able to tell the camera specifically.
And sometimes things that are like round clocks and stuff like that can look a lot like a face to a camera.
Right.
It just depends on the vintage of the camera and
true.
How sophisticated the algorithms are.
Right. Now, to build on that a little bit, you know, we both have the Nikon Z system. There's a further refinement of that in which it actually detects eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use the command dials on your camera to toggle between left eye and right eye on your subjects, or toggle between faces mm-hmm. on your subjects. And that's very cool. So auto area AF, which again, it was something I wouldn't have touched at all really three or five years ago. I find myself using more often when I'm doing people photography.
Yeah.
For that very reason.
Now, just to put some expectations on it that are reasonable, you know, with the eye detection thing, you have to have your subject filling up a pretty good portion of the frame for it to work correctly. If let's say it's of a person, if that person gets too far away, portion of the viewfinder that they're filling up is too small, eye detection isn't going to work anymore.
Well, it reverts back to face detection.
It reverts to face, and then at some point, face doesn't work when they get further away. So you just have to keep that in mind. You can't expect eye detection to work if you're shooting with a 50-millimeter lens and your subject is 40 feet away.
Right. And all of these settings that we're talking about can be found in your custom menu setting. That's the pencil of the in Nikon cameras, and usually the first custom settings bank A is the autofocus settings.
Yeah.
So all of these various parameters that we're talking about can be found there, with the exception of AFS and AFC. Those are either found by pressing the AF mode button on the side of your camera, or sometimes it's on the top of the camera. It just depends on where it is for the servo modes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, that's basically how the autofocus systems work. So let's give a couple examples of where you might use one. So I'll start with you, Rick. You do a lot of landscapes. What about that?
Yeah. So for landscape stuff, I will use autofocus sometimes to get the initial focus on a subject, because it's just easy. Bang, I'll use the back button thing and it'll lock on. But then from that point further, I might, you know, just do manual touch up and things like that. So, and if I am using the autofocus system, I'll definitely move around the sensor
to single point, right?
Yeah, just single point.
Okay.
I never use the other patterns if I'm doing landscape.
Right.
I just don't.
And then portraits, you know, this is where, and by portraits, I mean fairly close-up portraits.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I will use either single point, or I'll start playing around with the face detection option. If I'm using a DSLR, I'll use single point
mm-hmm.
because it's not, I can't shoot using live view,
right.
you know, of a portrait. But if I'm using my mirrorless camera, then the face detection or eye detection, I'll switch to the auto area for portraits.
Yeah.
And that works really well.
And just one last thing on that. If you do have a Z camera, play with that. Torture
yeah.
your family, you know, make them be a subject for a while. See where it works, where it breaks down. But it works remarkably well. And I think people will be amazed in general.
And then for action shooting, I find that dynamic area works great in one of the larger pattern settings for whatever mm-hmm. reason. I just find that it stays on my subject a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So I was shooting soccer. My son was playing soccer a few years ago, and I found that dynamic focus with using, you know, 50 or 72 points worked really well, because mm-hmm. that way I could keep the focus point mostly on his face, which is what I was trying to do with my own framing. Mm-hmm. But it kept it locked on pretty well.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people like photographing birds in flight. What do you use for those shots?
If it's birds in flight, I'm almost always going to be in group.
Okay.
So if your camera supports this, and this is on the newer cameras, my D850 had it. I don't remember if the D810 had it. I think it did. Group autofocus is your best friend. Those are the focus modes with Nikon systems. Like we said, there's analogous modes. Mm-hmm. One thing we didn't talk up that we should just at least mention is there's a custom setting called focus tracking and lock on. And that doesn't really mean your camera's locking on the subject. What it really is a latency, a delay in how long the camera waits to refocus if your focus point goes off the main subject.
This is setting the camera's attention span.
Exactly. That's a great way of... And so this would be in a situation when you're in continuous servo focus, AFC, and you're using, you know, any pattern will work with. But the idea is that if your focus point, you're continuously focusing, so you're holding down the AF button, and you're continuously focusing, and now your focus point drifts off the subject. The longer the delay setting, you can kind of, the camera will hesitate before it decides, oh, I'm focusing on the background now. And this comes in very handy with sports where things are coming between you and the camera, like referees or other players, tree branches with birds.
The pole.
Yeah, anything. So the camera doesn't immediately think, oh, you want to focus on this pole now.
Yeah, right. A pole showed up. I'm going to focus on that.
So I usually have that set to the default setting of 3, the middle setting. Sometimes I'll actually go a little longer.
Yeah.
But it works. It doesn't prevent the camera from tracking your subject. So subject motion tracks, but it's rapid changes, you know, massive changes in distance, which is what happens when your sensor point has something come between you and your subject, or you somehow go on in the background. Right. You know, your camera is reading, I'm focusing on something 20 feet away, and now it's 200 feet away,
right?
You know, or now it's 3 feet away.
Right.
Chances are that wasn't your subject.
Yeah. Now, when you set your camera so it doesn't just immediately jump mm-hmm. to that thing at another distance, that can be good. It can save a shot because the camera didn't lose focus on your main subject and have to reacquire it. The downside, though, is that it makes your autofocus a little bit less responsive.
Especially if you're trying to change subjects.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I work around that is to take my finger off the autofocus button when I change subjects and then refocus. That's called, some people call it pumping the focus. You mm-hmm. take your finger off the button, push it again, and start over from scratch and tell the camera to refocus.
Yeah. I think your comment about putting it at 3 as a initial setting, which is where it defaults, mm-hmm. is a good one. And then if you have problems, then start
right
changing it.
Yep.
And with all of these things, whether it's that setting or the patterns or, you know, going between single and continuous, I think one of the most important things is experiment.
Absolutely.
You know, give yourself a situation where you're photographing something that's moving, something you don't care a whole lot about. You can shoot cars that are, you know, coming on a road and see how the different settings affect your ability to autofocus accurately on the car. It could be birds in a park or something like that. Something where you can experiment and really try this stuff out for yourself. It'll make more sense.
Yeah, and that's a great strategy for all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just play with it first so that you know how your camera's going to behave before you go out and do something serious. Yep. All right, well, that seems to be about all the time we have for today. We're going long today, so we'll shut up now.
Well, it was one of those subjects that hurts your head.
Yeah, so. Well, we appreciate the feedback. Hopefully this didn't hurt your head too much today. just remind everyone, please check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. That's where you can leave comments and questions and give us ideas for future show topics. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
Happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.